This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
'88, '89, I was around 15 or 16. And I think those were the best years of my school years, because I was the bowling captain back then in Bukit Bintang Boys School. Grades were good. We were scoring straight A's all around. Honeymoon year, you know, in Form 4,
Almost like a script of a movie.
Yeah. And I mean, aside from the good part, I think it was a very important formative experience as well, because my mother, being my mother, you know, prepared me not to be spoiled in the world. So whenever there were things that I wanted to do which required more money, she would ask me to go and work for it. So what I used to do is I used to work in a bowling alley in the days when, you know, those computer screens were not around yet. I was a scorer. I was a bowling scorer, you know, when people still use those yellow pencils. I used to work double shift during the school holidays. You know, we made $12 during the day, $15 at night.
Wow, your parents really make you work hard, huh?
No, actually, no. I worked hard for what I wanted. I think what my mother wanted to teach me was that, you know, there are no shortcuts in life. And if you want something, you got to go out there and work for it.
And never give up.
Never give up, you know.
On the 14th of June 2018, Malaysia lost not only a shining light in the Malaysian entrepreneurship ecosystem, but also a man who inspired and taught many the way to success. Nazrin Hassan, the CEO of Cradle, as you have just heard in that clip from an interview he did with us in 2009, passed away due to a tragic accident. Today, we look back at the legacy he left behind, the inspiring spirit he instilled in the ecosystem, and some of the best memories of him with acting group CEO of Cradle, Razif Aziz. And also, we'll be speaking about what's next for Cradle with the upcoming Cradle Buzz 2018. Razif, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Where to begin is something I kind of struggled a little bit when I was preparing for this show. Perhaps maybe a start of the time when you first met Nazrin. And you know, tell us a little bit about that journey and the man himself.
I've known Nazrin way back, I suppose, you know, on a professional level. I guess when I first joined another agency at that time, which was called Malaysian Biotechnology Corporation, or Biotech Corp for short, which basically focused on biotech, you know, startups and stuff like that. And I'd run into him. I knew he was the CEO of Cradle. At that time, I was one of the management guys at Biotech Corp. And I think we only started to get close due to a common sort of like goal or, you know, thing that we were looking at, which was basically at that time, Agency Inovasi Malaysia had proposed to the government, or rather the government was looking into consolidating all the funds that was in this space under one agency. And Agency Inovasi Malaysia was the sort of like the designated body that would manage all these funds for all the other agencies. So we were united by a common cause at that point. And I realized that Nazrin and myself, we had the same sort of like opinion or point of view in this, in that sort of like putting everything under one control of one agency is not the way forward. So we found ourselves on the same side of the fence, basically fighting this proposal. And it was in a sort of like a retreat that they organized for us. Selected members of the ecosystem would join this retreat in Bukit Tinggi. Mm-hmm. And I spent, I think, a good weekend with him and other veterans of this ecosystem from MTDC. There were representatives from MDEC, that's you know, who were with us. And over that period of that weekend, I suppose we bonded. And that's when I realized that, hey, he's a cool guy. He although he's the CEO of an agency, I was just running a division within Biotech Corp at that time. At night, after the sessions, we would play pool, you know, because there was nowhere to go. I mean, it was at the Colmar Resort, I think. So that sort of like served to forge the relationship. And we've kept in touch since, until I found myself in between jobs. I had just left, it was an ACE market listed company. I was a COO there called MGRC Berhad. So he offered, why don't you join us? you know. So why not? You know, I knew Nazrin. I knew how he, you know, how he did things.
So it was easy to convince you to join Cradle and join him.
Pretty much. I mean, so I came on board and the rest was history. I mean, from that early friendship, I think it became, he became my boss, you know.
And what year was this that you joined Cradle and be part of Nazrin and Cradle family?
I was already sort of like working on a freelance basis before 2015, but 2015 would generally be the year I normally refer to as my start at Cradle. Yeah.
And how was he like as a CEO of a company that, you know, seems to carry a lot of burden, at least the weight of the tech ecosystem here in Malaysia, being still a very small company, a very lean startup, but huge responsibilities. And he never used to show that it's like a big burden for him. Instead, you know, when we see him at events, He's just someone that you just want to be around with because he's just inspiring the way he talks or the way he carries himself. But yet you realize that there's actually a large burden here that he's trying to carry on and inspire. How is he like as a CEO?
Because of our relationship, of course, it was quite relaxed in that sense. He had confidence in what I do and what I'm capable of. So I pretty much ran things the way I wanted to. And he gave me that leeway. The thing is, he's one, you know, that cliche where the good CEOs surround themselves with good people, you know, in that sense. Yeah, in a way, he did that. You know, he had Juliana Jan, our CIO, people who've been with Cradle for so long, who are sort of veterans in, you know, a lot of experience in what they do. And he basically, you know, set us off. You know, in the sense that you know your roles, you know your scope of work, go do it. You know the parameters that we're working under. You were also drawn by his passion. It comes out. And it's also from that passion, I guess, you see his insight as well. I guess being an early pioneer within this area, in this space, he sees things, or rather he has a knack of, you know, focusing on areas which are the key issues. And it was those insights and his passion that I guess made people rally around him. And it was natural, you know. It's almost like a coach of a football team, I suppose, or a captain of a team or something like that. When that person shows that leadership in terms of knowledge and, you know, those kind of insight and expertise in that sense, people just rally around that and sort of like, depend on that. Just lead us, and we will follow you, and we will execute what we, you know, what you want us to do. And I think for the most part, even though, I mean, he's fond of just coming into the office and, you know, just crack jokes and stuff like that, but things got done because we knew what we were supposed to do, and he provided that vision.
And 15 years ago, 2003 is when Cradle started. He does have an eye for spotting, you know, what would be something worth investing in and worth putting the heart and soul into it.
Exactly.
Because 2003, I don't think many was actually talking about tech being something that could drive a country's economy. And now we're looking at, you know, digital Malaysia and digital growth. Was this just something that it's just in him itself, being able to always spot things?
Yeah. Again, a cliche, I suppose. He was someone who's actually gone through an entrepreneurial journey himself, right? So he saw the problems himself. And he felt that, hey, maybe what we're doing now is not the right way. I mean, there is this whole thinking behind for very early stage startups, that even investors like VCs and all that, the traditional, or what we call formal investors, don't come in at this very early stage. You know, they'd come in when most of the risks have been removed or mitigated. So at this very early stage, at the same time as when the founders themselves put in the money, who else would come in? Of course, it would be the government, because it's part of nation building. I mean, the government would, in that sense, quote-unquote, invest in this space with a view to creating businesses, creating value in different ways. And he felt that we should be in this space. And I think also credit to the people around him at that time. I think other industry icons in that sense, if you could call them that. People like Dr. Siva, Siva Palan of Proficio, and of course there were others as well. I can't remember them.
That's
at this point.
Way too many names, yeah.
Exactly, and I think they were part of an association called the Technopreneurs Association Malaysia team.
Mm.
And they all had that same view. And it was him who actually proposed to the government that we set up something like Cradle and go into this area where we provide small grants to help companies achieve their dream in that sense, entrepreneurs to achieve their dreams. And I think from there, 15 years later, we are, you know, pretty much in that same space.
But, you know, much bigger responsibilities now when you see the goal for Malaysia as a country is to be digital, to grow more tech startups and all. And I guess the responsibility, maybe the goal has just the goalpost has just shifted slightly now and it's just a bigger role and a bigger task now.
Yeah, but correct. But the thing is, Cradle, again, testimony to his leadership, we've pretty much focused in our own space, that narrow sort of like very early stage, pre-seed, seed stage that we started with. And we've slowly sort of like developed that and got good at that particular space. And we've sort of, even if we expanded, it's still in the periphery and it's still within that general same area. So 15 years later, we're pretty much still entrenched in this area because that's where our expertise is. I mean, that's where we've had the most experience. And we feel that there would be other agencies or other entities that would take over, you know, past that stage. Because, again, this is what we're good at. We'll focus on that. And we hope that other investors will come in at later stages and pick up from that, you know, from the startups that we have sort of like seeded and started in that sense.
And I remember when I was listening to some of his previous interviews, he mentioned, you know, that Cradle is obviously investing in the people, in the entrepreneur having this idea instead of a company, an organization having this idea. And I guess until today, it's still kind of like the same, but it's a testament to him itself because it's the people. He looks at the individual itself and do you have the passion to build this idea? That's how he will look at things?
Yeah. Because we're probably one of the few, I suppose, who actually at the point of entry, you can be sort of like a team of individuals. It doesn't need to be a startup already set up, you know, like a Sinan Berhad or something like that. We understand that sometimes the idea comes in at that stage and they want to be able to take this idea forward. They may not have necessarily formalize that you know, the startup yet at that point, but we then provide them with the tools. I mean, of course, with the funding to actually achieve that. We do require the companies to be incorporated at some point, but you can come in at that stage. So it does sort of like open the door a bit wider as opposed to people who, you know, startup, there are those incorporation costs and stuff like that. And that's sort of like maybe a big turnoff for some people, maybe. But they want to be able to sort of like get that leg up at that very early stage. So we help them with that. But the kind of application we get now, it's a mix. I think it is also an evolution from the early days when you see more people, maybe individuals coming forward. Now, I think, because this is becoming more the norm. People are already, you know, sort of like schooled in this area and more exposed, more aware. And we see people with a bit more commitment. I mean, the quality has gone, you know, really gone. It's so much different from the early days of 2003.
Yeah.
And because of things like the internet and, you know, how information is exchanged now, it's so fast. You see the quality also getting better, and people are coming forward with better ideas and better established or better set up already. You know, they are already there. Sometimes you can see the quality coming out, you know. And this focus on individuals and teams has always been there. In fact, it's almost like a mantra, you know. And it's something that has, I think, also sort of seeped into the other stuff we do with angel investors and, so, and that sort of thing. And it's the same thing. One of the key things we look at are the people behind it, their passion, their commitment, their knowledge in that area that helps with this whole, you know, it's like a prediction, like, you know, this is going to be successful, you know?
I'm speaking to Razif Aziz, the acting group CEO of Cradle, and we'll continue the discussion about the life of Nazrin Hassan as the CEO of Cradle, BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets, BFM 89.9.
I think, you know, those were far more carefree years. All I had to do was do well in my grades and focus on the relationship that I had, and that was it. You know, now I'm in charge of a very crucial technology grant. There's thousands of people out there counting on Cradle to do its part in the technology world. So I feel that sense of burden on my shoulders every day. You know, I remind myself that, you know, I can't slow down because some entrepreneur out there would suffer if I slow down. It's a bit harder to balance, but yes, I'm working towards it.
This strong sense of responsibility obviously came from a very young age because you were trying to earn your own money at a very young age. Did it come from your parents? Did they inculcate that value system in you?
My mother. I lost my father when I was about 10 or so. So I was raised pretty much by my mother. And she reminded me every day that money does not grow on trees, and that if you wanted anything, you've got to go out there and fight for it, you know. I think as far as that independent streak, as far as the don't give up perspective, it definitely came from her. But this sense of duty, I think, came more from my student days in the UK, when I felt that since we were privileged enough to be sent by the government there, you know, we have to do our part. We have to come back and do our part for the country. It's not just mere talk. It's not just about being a taxpayer. It's about actually making significant changes to the landscape.
And we're back. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with acting group CEO of Cradle, Razif Aziz. And as you've just heard that clip, that was Nazrin Hassan, who passed away due to a tragic accident on the 14th of June 2018. He was, you know, not only the shining light in the Malaysian entrepreneurship ecosystem, but also one who was truly inspiring and had that determination of making a change in Malaysia and the people around him as well. Razif, is, you know, you've heard that clip. He was very passionate about making a change. Even, you know, in this interview that we've heard, that was at, you know, in 2009, he talked about the burden that he had. And it's very rare you would hear someone saying that they worry that if they slow down, other entrepreneurs will suffer. That's just, you know, inspiring itself.
Yeah, it's actually true. I mean, it's things that you hear, but for us, we know it's true. I mean, it's something he was very concerned about. It was almost like he made it personal. It was almost like, hey, we need to do our part, and I'm taking responsibility for this, and let's make a difference, you know? And yeah, I mean, it sounds like a cliche, you know, it's like, you know, with hindsight, yeah, he was like that. But yeah, what can I say? It's true. When he said burden, you don't see it though.
Yeah.
You don't see it.
He always comes in with a smile.
Yeah, and he always has time for people who approached him. Just a little anecdote, at the burial, when I was there, we noticed a lot of people who were there, and even my team, the team at Cradle, didn't know who they were. I actually approached one of them, a Chinese guy. He flew in from, or I don't know whether he flew in or drove, he was from Penang. And apparently he was being mentored by him. Yeah. Or rather, that's what he said. So, and there were apparently not just him, there were a few other guys. And these guys actually felt that he made a difference, and they came for his burial. And I was like, I was blown away, you know. And a lot of people suddenly realized, you know, wow, you know, his impact was beyond, it's almost like it was beyond Call of Duty or something. If you've heard of stories about how he would do these things, he would do it over teh tarik somewhere, either near his place. He will have sessions with I wouldn't say random, but I guess, you know, different entrepreneurs, and they would chat and talk with him and all that. And it's something that not a lot of us do, you see. You don't walk the walk in that sense. He did that. He walked the talk or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he actually spent the time beyond office hours. And I guess because he enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
That's why it wasn't a burden for him. So it was a passion. He enjoyed what he did. I mean, he stayed 15 years, right? Mm. With Cradle. He could have gone anywhere. He could have had his pick.
I know a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs who are listening to this right now are probably just nodding their heads as well, because you know, there were some entrepreneurs that I met at the Burial, and I asked them, when was the last time that you actually met Nazreen? And it's exactly that. It's meeting him at the coffee shop, and it's just him, you know, spending a little bit of time advising them on how to go forward, trying to open doors for them and, you know, help them to sort of grow. Even just beyond Cradle's responsibility, it's just him. It's just his passion in helping them to grow itself.
Yeah.
And how's Cradle been like? It's only been a month since his tragic passing. Mm. How's the team like? And moving forwards as well, how difficult was that? Just, you know, the whole...
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest and say it was difficult. I think for that first 1 or 2 weeks, the team was still reeling from the reality of it. People still kept having, you know, like thinking he's in the office somewhere and... You know, all that didn't happen. I mean, just listening to his voice just now when you were playing those clips, I was like, it's just like yesterday. For some, he was the only CEO they had known. For Cradle, he was the only CEO we've known. For me, it was a relationship that was both... you know, he was a friend and both a colleague and boss. So we've had to adjust. There was a feeling of being a bit shell-shocked, I guess, you know, from the news.
But plan for these things.
Yeah, you don't plan. Yeah. And there were a few things that you could say didn't help, in the sense that it happened during, you know, a long break.
Mm.
So people were away, and people were like, you know, I'm out in kampung. When I received the news, I was already in Malacca, at my wife's kampung, and I realized that there was a need to pull everybody together quickly. And what we did was we did a mini town hall on the following week, which was the earliest day the first few people came back to office. So we did that. It's sort of like we didn't want to leave them, because everybody was still on leave. I was on a 1 week leave in that sense. Raya leave, right?
Yeah.
People took long leave. And we went into the office with a few of the senior managers, sort of like explained to them what happened and things like that. Give them something to hold on to. I mean, you know, because for most of them, it was a blank. They just heard that the CEO died. You know, and next thing, a few days later, they're back in the office, and what's happening, right? So the senior managers, we rallied around. We did two town halls, one in in the following week, immediately from the death, and another one when everybody was back. And I think it's getting back to normal. I mean, business wise, it went without a hitch. I mean, we have processes in place. I mean, that's the good thing.
That's a testimony again of Nazreen being confident and trusting
exactly.
The people that work below him
to get
things done.
Basically, one of the things I remember saying is that you guys know what you're supposed to do.
Hmm.
You have your KPIs. You have your, we have a 5-year plan. We're in the fourth year of a 5-year plan. Execute, you know, nothing's changed in that sense.
Yeah.
We do what we're supposed to do. And I think it's sinking in. Things are starting to get to normal, or if you want to call it, you know, as normal as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, it will take time for it to completely sort of like be in the past, you know. Right now, it still feels part of the present. I guess people just need time for that. And I was cognizant of that. I mean, I said to the team, take this time to grieve. I mean, you know, but we have a job to do. At some point, it needs to be business as usual. And I think we've done so. And Cradle Bus, we cancelled the Hari Raya open house thing, which we do every year out of respect. But the Cradle Bus event and all the other major activities, we say, you know, the show must go on.
Mm-hmm.
So Cradle Bus will be the first major event following his passing away. And we said, don't change the date, don't change anything, let's do this. You know, we need to give a strong signal to the market that we're still here. You know, we're still doling out the grants. You can still apply. Nothing has changed in that sense.
Mm. At the end of the day, I guess you knowing him, you know, as not just as a boss, but as a friend as well, that was what he would want to do.
Exactly. I mean, he'd roll over in his grave probably if everybody was like breaking down and things were not getting done.
Yeah.
You know, we honor him by doing what he would have wanted us to do, you know. Yeah.
So speaking of which, Cradle Bus, that will be happening tomorrow. So what's going to be, what's Cradle Bus 2018 all about then?
Okay, we've never done a major event. I was just talking to you earlier. I mean, people know a lot about Cradle, or people know Cradle, and we are the first port of call for a lot of people. But we've never actually like leveraged on the brand in that sense. So we need to have our own signature event, I suppose. So we're doing it big this year. It just so happens to be without him. I think this was all in the plans already.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is our 15th year anniversary.
Mm.
We will be at that event, be sort of like sharing a major study which we have commissioned Help University to do for us, which is basically what we call an impact study. How Cradle's grants and funding have impacted on the ecosystem since we started. So that will be interesting. Mm. I think for you know, people who watch this space, we'll be sharing some of the snippets of that. The full report will be ready after the event. We'll be again distributing that to the market, I suppose, who want to know. And for us, Cradle Bus, I mean, we've been around 15 years, but you'd be surprised. There are parts of Malaysia or people within Malaysia, if you're not in this space, there are still people who don't know what we do. And when people don't know what we do, it's like what people say, you're selling something, but if people don't know how to find you and don't know where you that you exist, you won't get to sell anything, right? So we need more people to know about us. And always we try and reach a new audience. It's for us, Cradle Bus is reaching a new audience, hopefully. Of course, the existing audience we have is also important. We need to support that audience. But it's all about getting to a new audience always. And all our awareness programs, and I call this ecosystem events that we do, the small ones in Penang, in Johor, which are our key focus areas, are about getting a new audience, you know, so that people know that we're there to support them and that they can apply. And this is possible. We can help you achieve your dreams. I mean, entrepreneur dreams in a sort of a cliched kind of way. Yeah.
And this is all panel sessions, sharing sessions that will be happening full day.
Yes, for one full day. We have a few panel sessions as well as solo talks. Azlan Osmarani will be there. Mm-hmm. He'll be talking about certain things. And we've curated the event, created the content to hopefully be of interest to both startups and investors alike. It will be an opportunity to network, of course. Networking is important. When you're a small agency like us, we always depend on others, you know, sort of like leveraging other people's networks. Again, it's about reaching as many people as possible, because I think VCs and anybody in the funding space will tell you, I mean, what you see in front of you, we get like 700 plus applications a year for our grants, right? So it's a huge number. But we can never tell whether the next grab will be in there somewhere. We might be missing that, you know? And that is always the concern. Are we getting through to the right people? I mean, the you know, and always it still never ceases to amaze me that, hey, how come we see someone making the news and how come we're not we didn't fund them?
Mm.
You know, where'd they go? You know, how did we miss that? You know, it's not that we want to be the funder for every one of them, but we want to be at least, you know, to find the good ones, right? The quality ones. And it always, I think one of the sort of rewards of the job is that knowing that you were part of that. And that's what I would like to tell the staff at Cradle, you know, that you have a chance to make a difference the same way Nazrin wanted to do. You know, it although it's a small organization, imagine, you know, those startups are now making an impact. iMoney, Grab, of course, MyTaxi at that point. And there's so much more, you know. We can share you a list with you, the list. But it's, you know, being able to be part of that, you know. I was the team that was in the evaluation team that, you know, we found them, that, you know, we discovered this deal. I mean, of course, a lot of credit to the entrepreneurs themselves because the hard work is with them. We do the easy bit. We give them the money. We evaluate. We think that, you know, they're awesome. We'll fund them. But after that, it's them. Mm. You know, we will, you know, as part of our strategy now, going forward, those last 2 or 3 years, is that we try and give beyond the funding, what else can we do? So we're trying to do what, you know, in the private equity world, where the investee companies, they will go in and sort of like help the companies grow further, you know, optimize the company, enhance the company in some way. Of course, in their case, they would like to flip the companies and make a profit. For us, because we are a government agency, yes, there is a element of exit there and we will make some money there. But it's also about nation building. I mean, you know, creating all these awesome startups, you know, and they go out there and conquer the world, I suppose.
Mm. And Malaysia has enough to, you know, create more of these
Of course, there will be there's a limitation, of course. At the end of the day, we're not as big in terms of population. You know, people talk about gene pool, you know. It's a limited gene pool, right?
Mm.
But from what we have, we determined to get as much value as possible from, you know, what we have right now.
With the right support system as
exactly.
well.
Exactly, yeah.
We can nurture these people to be the next.
It is possible. And I think over the years, we've proven that it is possible. You know, we've had our first exit as well recently. So it is possible, you know. And it was an investment that was like 2 or 3 years ago, which is awesome. I mean, and it was, I think, a 7x exit. 7x, they call it, you know, multiple. And it gives you, you know, the team that worked on it. I mean, in fact, the whole company is like feeling, wow, you know, we did, I mean, we helped in that, right? We're pretty clear we didn't do all the work, you know, but we helped in that process. And we're hoping that there will be more of that going forward.
And still trying to live that dream that Nazrin had as well in building the ecosystem growing it.
You know, in terms of where to work at, if you're willing to, if you want, you're interested in this space, there's no better place to be at, you know. We are ground zero. You know, we see so many of these applications a year. We see so many entrepreneurs, those who are not our applicants, because they just want to be around this ecosystem, and because we do so many different things as well, not just the grants, that, you know, it's like complete immersion into this space, and there's, you know, so much you can learn.
Razif, I know personally how difficult it is to share stories and, you know, to think of, you know, someone who's very influential in not just the ecosystem but personally to you as a friend. But thank you so much for you know, sharing all the insights and inspirational stories. I've been speaking to Razif Aziz. He's the acting group CEO of Cradle. Also, Cradle Buzz will be happening tomorrow. You can check out cradle.com.my/CradleBuzz2018. You can get all the information from there. My name is Jeff Sandhu and this has been Enterprise. And if you missed any parts of this interview, you can download the podcast. It's available on the BFM app, available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You're listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.